Hello again, you creepy people. Welcome back to our podcast. So, I'm going to need you guys to buckle in your seatbelts for this week's episode because it's going to be wild. Like, find yourself a Gandalf, find yourself an Aragorn, because we're going to go straight into the depths of Isengard. To fight the Balrog.
You shall not pass.
No. So,
Gandalf, no!
Yeah. So, I don't think we have any announcements before we get into this, other than follow us on our socials. You can find us on Instagram at A Little Murderous. You can find us on Twitter at Little Murderous. And on Facebook, our page is A Little Murderous. Please follow us on our socials. I'll like post when it's live on Anchor, and it's usually live on everywhere else like a day or two afterwards. And you can find our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're out there.
We're getting there.
We're going places. Anyway, so let's dive into the shadows where murderers and psychopaths like to hide. I'm Bethany.
And I'm Brian.
And this is A Little Murderous. So this week we are talking about the infamous case of Luca Magnotta and the murder of Lynn Jin. Now, if there are any young listeners out there, you might recognize the name Luca Magnotta. The artist slash YouTube gamer Corpse Husband makes reference to Magnotta in his song E-Girls Are Ruining My Life. Like, I'm gonna kill your cat like I'm Luca Magnotta. Like, he has a really insanely deep voice. Yeah, and
it's
I think
crazy.
Yeah, he's really funny if you're a young person or a millennial who likes to watch gamers or YouTubers. Highly recommend. Anyway, so back to the case, and enough with the fangirling. So before Luca came up with his new persona and adopted the name Luca Rocco Magnotta, which, by the way, Rocco's modern life, he's not that cool. He was born Eric Clinton Kirk Newman on July 24th of 1982. His parents were Anna Yorkin and Donald Newman, and they lived in Scarborough, Ontario with their three children, Eric being the eldest. So, like, to keep things simple in this case, I'm going to just refer to Eric as Magnotta or just Luca, because you're going to find out in a minute he's a lot of aliases. Like, a lot. Like, he's insane. So, according to Magnotta, his mother was obsessed with cleaning, keeping a clean home, and would often lock her children out of the house so she can clean.
As one does.
So, like, remember, they're in Canada, so, like, this is, like, imagining that this is happening in the winter.
Probably. And all year round kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
You don't just stop cleaning in the winter.
Right. So,
I mean,
I'm getting a little bit of OCD from this.
Like, it's cold here, man.
You know, I'm not saying that she just does this in the winter, but, like, it also happens in the winter.
Yeah. I'm relating to the cold.
Yeah.
It sucks. I hate it.
So then on one of these days, she threw out her children's pet rabbits, and they ended up freezing to death.
I mean, you'd think...
Because they were dirty.
Well, you'd think they'd have, like, a cage that they could stay in.
Still, they were dirty.
Oh, they're just too dirty for the house.
They're just, animals are dirty.
Oh.
So, like, keep that in mind, that already his mother is able to just throw away animal life. But that's going to play, I think that influence is going to play into Magnotta's...
His crazy
stuff. His craziness. Because like, you'll definitely see examples of animal cruelty in here. And, like, so with home life, to make matters worse, Magnotta's father was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic that also suffered with manic depressive episodes in 1996. This led Magnotta's father to divorcing Anna, and Magnotta was sent to live with his grandmother. Like, this isn't the most healthy of households. You got a lot of mental illness going on.
Broken up house over.
Yeah. So, I mean, this isn't the most loving and nurturing place. Hmm. So before the divorce, Luca and his siblings were homeschooled, which led to the children living a very isolated life. Like, okay, so I know that most homeschooled children are not totally isolated, but combined with the parents' mental disorders, this resulted in a not very good environment for the children to grow up in, to say the least, especially with no way to experience the outside world to the fullest. Like, they're pretty isolated. So, like, in 1998, Magnotta would finally get his chance to experience public school when he was enrolled in the I.E. Weldon Secondary School, where he attended until 2002. While attending school, teachers and peers of Magnotta would go on to say that Luca was very vain, and this led him to being the target of many bullies in school.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, he's full of himself. Like, usually those kind of people are the bullies.
Right.
But, like, to the point where everyone's like, dude, you need to take it down a few notches.
Even the bullies are like, come on.
Come on, man. Come on.
And it's Canada.
And it's so. Canada. Everyone's nice in Canada.
Right. That's, well, I mean.
Okay, obviously, stereotypically, but. Okay.
Sorry, Canada.
We love you, Canada.
Yeah, we do.
You are our neighbors. So in 2001, Magnotta would go on to move to Toronto, and a year later, he would find work as a stripper at a nightclub club called Remington's. So he was young and getting it.
Sure, yeah.
The morbid girls would say, young and getting it. Luca also started work in the sex film industry, and by 2003, he had two films featuring him in the pornography of the gay variety.
Well, you know, you gotta make money somehow.
Yeah, so, like, let me just state that there's nothing wrong with working in the porn industry if that's what makes you happy. As long as your rights are protected, go for gold. I really think that there should be less stigma against people who are involved in sex work. Like, it's your body, do what you want.
I mean, it doesn't bother me. I just...
Right?
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Do your OnlyFans, get your bag. I'm certainly not going to do that, but get your coin, sis.
She doesn't know that I have an account, though.
Oh, my God.
Dad bods galore.
Jesus Christ. So, like, porn and stripping were not the only things that Magnotta was up to in 2003. Luca ended up befriending a 21-year-old mentally handicapped woman. So, like, her mental age was, like, 8. So, after sexually assaulting this woman and filming the whole incident, he convinced her to take out a new credit cards and racked up about $10,000 in debt. So, like...
Filming, though?
You're gonna see that this is gonna be, like...
I mean, even... Just sexual assault in general, man. Like, why?
Being the victim of a sexual assault myself, like... It's fucking... You're a garbage human being, and you deserve to rot in the deepest depths of hell.
Isengard, I think, is how you put it.
Burn in Mordor.
Burn in Mordor. You
fucking fucker. So, like, already, we're just starting this case... And you can see that he's an absolute garbage human being with, like, but you're going to see this first incident, like, videotaping his crimes tends to be his modus operandi. You're going to see a lot of it.
Oh, no.
In 2005, Magnotta took on the alias of Jimmy and appeared in Fab Magazine as a pinup model. I thought those were only, like, a 1940s thing.
I don't know.
I guess I don't really know the culture. I thought that, but cool, go for gold. I mean, you, like, Luca, don't go for gold. I mean, do your sex work, but, like, do what you're about to do.
Oh, no.
And so in this biweekly magazine, Magnotta would describe himself as a Russian native with aspirations of becoming a police officer investigating homicides. Which, like, bullshit. You're not from Russia. You're a little...
He is a KGB sleeper agent, Beth.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he is.
That reminds me of, this is totally off topic, but the YouTube video we saw of,
oh my,
like,
goodness, the Animal Crossing
Soviet horizons. Like, what the heck? So this person, like, makes their island into, like, a gulag. It's completely awful, but yeah, so he has a fascination with Russia and he wants to investigate homicides. In 2006, Magnotta would stand trial for fraud and the sexual harassment of the woman he took advantage of during the proceedings. Luca's lawyer presented the judge with documents stating that Magnotta had significant psychological issues, which I completely agree with. Unfortunately, though, this resulted in the sexual assault charges being dropped, but he was still charged with fraud. Which, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, that's. I mean, at least he was charged with something, but still bullshit.
Yeah. The judge decided to give leniency in the case due to the fact that Magnotta was able to assert that he had mental problems. I bet you that judge is sitting back like, fuck.
Yeah, maybe.
Hindsight is 2020.
Yeah, it is.
A few months later, in August of that year, Magnata would officially change his name to Luca Rocco Magnata. He continued his vain life of acting in sex films, working as an escort, and stripping. And during this time, he would also go by Jimmy. And he added an alias of Vladimir Romanov.
Oh my god.
Like, don't fuck with the name Romanov. That's Anastasia, bitch. Fuck off. That's my only qualm with that. Fucking Anastasia. Don't mess up Anastasia's name. So, things are really going to start getting messy now. Magnata began living a life online where he was able to maintain 70 Facebook pages and 20 websites and discussion forums.
70. Jesus, I can't even maintain my one.
I know, you're never on.
I mean, I'm always on, but I'm never posting.
Post anything. Well, but yeah, so he's doing shit on 70 Facebook pages and 20 websites and
forums. I couldn't imagine. Like, I can't even control my email.
You can't. You have like 500 unread emails. It drives me...
15,000.
Jesus, fuck. It drives me insane, you guys. Like, I look at his phone, and I'm like, oh, he got a text message. I'll just unlock it, and like, he's driving, and I'll read it. I'm like, you have 15,000 unread emails, by the way. Get your life together.
It's just ads. Well, most of them.
And just push delete all.
Yeah, but I'm not tech savvy, you guys.
Says the one going to school for cybersecurity.
Okay, I'm a little lazy with it, all right?
So, anyway, he would use all these profiles and websites to start rumors about himself. One of which was a rumor that he was in a relationship with Carla Homolka, a very high-profile murderer in Canada, which we might do that case later. Not now, but later.
What?
Yeah, he loved this fabricated form of attention so much so that he made many fan accounts so to the outside world he appeared to be a star, darling.
So he's like the supreme narcissist.
Yeah. Oh yeah, narcissist. Okay. The house.
All right.
So like, I cannot stress this enough. This guy thrived on the attention, both good and bad. He didn't care. In 2007. While he was busy online making his life look like a fairy tale of travels and luxury, Magnata would accumulate $17,000 in debt and filed bankruptcy, stating that an illness was preventing him from working. Oh my gosh. Illness!
Sounds like he just needs to do more porn.
Yeah. Be young. Be getting it. During this time, he tried to compete in some reality TV shows such as Out TV's Cover Guy and Plastic Makes Perfect, because he like got a lot of plastic surgery.
Oh, well, I haven't heard of those shows.
They're Canadian.
Well, that doesn't mean they don't cross borders.
Yeah.
But maybe they don't. I don't know.
So after interviewing for these shows, he never made it onto any of them at all. All the producers would just say that there's something off about this guy.
He's a weirdo. We're going to see, huh?
Yeah. The fake attention that Luca was making for himself began to not be enough anymore. He's like, dude, I need more. Hell, he needed more. This is where Magnata's crimes start to escalate? I always wanted one when I was younger.
I don't like those.
But now as I'm an adult, I'm like, no, that's... And I wanted one because they were always in novelas. All the very rich people were like, oh my gosh, mírame en mi escalade, bitch. But now I just want a, what's it called?
Just a mom vehicle.
Just a mom vehicle.
Mommy van.
I just want to be able to take my kids, their friends. Yeah, the
kiddos around, you know?
Yeah.
That's how you know you're a parent, when you like boring shit.
Yeah.
Like, so you got a favorite spoon.
Or like when you buy a new appliance, goddamn.
Oh, God.
Like, I really want a new microwave.
That would be nice. Or a new... a washer dryer.
Oh my combo. God! Yeah.
Yes.
This is getting really weird.
All right, yes, let's get back.
Getting Luca weird. Anyway, please be advised. The next segment includes depictions and descriptions of incredibly violent acts as well as animal abuse. So, starting in October of 2009, thanks to an elderly man, Luca was able to go on a European tour of Russia, Italy, and France. As time would go on, his online updates and postings would grow darker and darker until reaching a whole new peak in the fall of 2010, where Magnata would begin posting very violent videos, one such being of a man being brutally beaten to death. So, like, he didn't brutally beat him. Like,
so he just, like, found this video and decided the world needed to see it.
I wasn't aware of this stuff being online, but apparently back in this day, like, gore was everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it still is.
Like, I'd never seen it before. Like, executions and...
Yeah.
I had no idea that this was a thing.
Some pretty bad websites out there. I've seen.
Like, we'll see in a little bit. In a little bit.
Yeah.
Just before Christmas, a video would appear on certain accounts of himself putting kittens in a bag and sucking out all the air with a vacuum.
What the fuck?
Magnata watched and recorded as these kittens slowly died of suffocation.
I love cats. That's terrible.
24 hours after this original video, Magnata would upload two more videos with more kittens. One kitten was taped to the end of a broomstick and submerged in water to drown slowly, and the other was fed alive to a python. No regard. So he's seeing these, like, gore videos, and he's like, all right, this gets a lot of attention.
I can do it.
Yeah. I can do it. These videos instantly went viral with masses of people, being, like, filing in and being filled with horror and outrage. Not only was it the awful deaths of the kittens that outraged the public, but the scenes of Magnata playing with the kittens and being so nice before, like, brutally murdering them.
Oh.
This mother, like, sadistic.
What a tool.
Yeah. These videos sparked the determination among a group of animal lovers. A man named Ryan Boyle, using the screen name Save Kitty, founded a Facebook group called Find the Vacuum Kitten Killer for Great Justice. 4,000 people, I think, would join this group in just 24 hours and offer their own time and resources to help catch the man responsible for killing these baby kittens. Rescue Inc., another animal rights group, would join the cause, donating $5,000 as a reward for any information leading to the arrest of the man responsible for the vacuum kitten killers.
So you
or murderers.
Oh, I was going to say you said killers. Did
vacuum kitten murders.
Does he have a friend?
No.
I would imagine a guy like that wouldn't have very many friends.
So, like, while all this is going on in the group... While this was all going on, this group had no idea that Magnata was the one responsible for these sick, violent videos. And let me tell you that this group of people were, like, intelligent as hell.
So, like, he just put it on one of his 70 accounts or whatever?
Yeah. And, like, so after watching the footage over and over again and analyzing every part of it and scouring the internet for clues seen in the photos posted by Magnata, they were finally able to link Luca to the kitten murders.
Oh, good.
Yeah. These people worked so hard to try and find this guy, and because they knew that this isn't going to be the end of the road for this guy. They knew that, like, okay, so he's doing this, he's going to escalate. He's going to probably kill bigger animals and maybe even people. One major problem was that they just didn't know exactly where he was. Now, Luca was starting to gain some confidence as he watched everyone freak out over his videos. Magnata was so starved for attention and so arrogant that he was, like, 100% sure that he was never going to get caught. But I also think that he wanted to get caught because he planted photos of himself online. A photo of his unblurred face holding the kittens that would later be murdered in the infamous video.
So he just wants to be some infamous killer. He wants to
He fucking wants this.
What a weird guy.
Oh my God. Like, totally a catch me if you can kind of moment.
Like, I strive to not be out there.
Right. Like, I just... part.
Like, I don't want people to know me.
Right. No, like, way. Let me hear my voice on this podcast, but, like, don't know my favorite color or my favorite kind of pizza. That's my business.
I was going to say pepperoni, but I honestly don't know if that's your favorite pizza. It's mine.
I think, yes, pepperoni, but a certain brand. Like...
Red Baron.
For home pizza. But I really like a good back-in-the-day Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah. That was good. So now you know your favorite pizza.
Anyway,
besides that...
So, like, okay, so even with this new face-revealing photo, the group still didn't know where he was. And to add insult to injury, Magnata sent the following email to members of the Facebook group. The name of the vacuum killer... So this is quotes. The name of the vacuum kitten killer you're looking for is Luca Magnata. He was born in Russia, lives in Los Angeles, and has lived in many different countries. The apartment in this video is located in West Hollywood. Hope this helps. I'm 100% serious. Which is fucking bullshit.
Okay, so, but where did it take place?
Canada.
So, I mean, well, okay. So he never, like, left Canada? No. Okay.
No, the only time he left Canada was with that old man, his sugar daddy.
His sugar daddy.
Which I don't know what happened to that guy.
He probably got killed.
Not by Luca.
Oh, okay.
So the only truthful thing in that email was the fact that his name was Luca Magnata. And after a few Google searches, the group was completely caught by surprise by the results that popped up from Magnata. The different aliases, the profiles, the fake fan accounts, and more. This guy was completely self-absorbed in creating an online show, one that he was a star of. The group really decided to hunker down and really start looking into all the photos that Magnata took to see if they could find any clues, and they did. So, like, I didn't know this, but apparently photos contain bits of hidden metadata. And with that data, you could find out a whole slew of things, like what camera took the photo, and even a GPS stamp on where the photo was taken. So even though Magnata claimed to be all over the world, many of the photos he posted were actually photoshopped. Mm. Which, today, you can look at those photos and be like, obviously that's photoshopped. But back in the day, it was like totally believable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, back then, there was like studios doing Photoshop.
Yeah. Like
nowadays, I do it on my phone.
Yeah.
You know? It's more common.
All except one photo was photoshopped.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and post that photo on our Instagram at A Little Murderer so you all can see the photo. But by looking at the metadata of that photo, they were able to get a definite location. And that location was Toronto, Ontario. Finally, the group was able to alert the authorities and send them to Magnata. The only trouble was for police is that they didn't know where in the city Magnata was located. And because Magnata didn't have an address in his name anywhere. So I don't know if he was just living with roommates or what all, but the police just couldn't find this guy. So he, like, didn't put his name on things. Mm. He made sure, like, I'm going to get this apartment, but not in my name.
Which, you know, it's kind of weird for a guy who wants to be known by everyone.
Yeah. At this point, we are in March of 2011, which is bonkers to me. And this case is so recent because I was a junior in high school at the time, and I had no idea that any of this occurred.
I didn't either, because I was not around any news for that year.
No, you were. So Brian was in basic training that year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In March of 2011, Jun Lin moved to Toronto as an international student. He was attending Concordia University as an undergraduate, studying engineering and computer science. He was born and raised in Wuhan, China, and his parents were so proud of their son pursuing his education in America.
So you said Concordia.
Yeah.
So like Concordia? Or do they have more than one college?
I don't know.
Because that's pretty close by.
Not here. Oh. So this was Concordia in Canada.
Oh, so maybe they have more than one college.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just totally different entity. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, June worked part-time at a convenience store as a clerk, and on May 1st, 2012, he moved into an apartment with a roommate in Griffintown. June would go missing and was last seen on the 24th of May in 2012. And it seemed that he just up and vanished. Jin's boss was suspicious because it wasn't like him to just be a no-call, no-show, and his friends were also concerned because they hadn't received any texts from Jun since his disappearance. Three of Jun's friends went into his apartment to see if they could find him, and he was just gone. On the 29th of May, Jun was reported missing to police. While Jun was missing, Magnata was keeping busy. A series of posts began to pop up online promoting a video that would soon be posted online. And on the 25th of May, a truly horrific and sick video was posted to bestgore.com. So, trigger warning, listener, be advised, it's going to get messed up. The video was 11 minutes long, called One Lunatic, One Ice Pick.
Oh no.
In the video, a naked man is seen tied to a bed. Another man, who we now know as Magnata, is seen repeatedly stabbing the tied-down man with an ice pick and a kitchen knife. And if that wasn't bad enough, when the poor guy was dead, Magnata proceeded to dismember the body and performed necrophilic acts on him.
Gross.
He then cut off pieces of flesh and beckoned his dogs to come over and chew on the dead man's body.
What a sick fuck, man. Oh.
The police in Toronto were able to find a longer version of the video where Magnata is seen cannibalizing the body. In the background of the video, you can see a poster of the movie Casablanca and the song True Faith by The New Order is heard playing. Like, no empathy, no sense of boundaries or morals, and to feed him to your dogs. Like, June, oh my god.
Sorry, June.
And my heart goes out to this kid. Just a college kid.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure how June and Luca got together. In my research, I couldn't find out. Maybe it's out there, but I don't know. On May 26, 2012, an attorney from Montana tried to report the video to Toronto law enforcement and to his own local sheriff and to the FBI, but everyone dismissed him.
What? How does... What?
Yeah.
They dismissed it like, hey, this guy's, you know, killing this man on camera, but no big deal.
Yeah. Oh. Viewers on the site of Best Score also tried to alert the authorities of the video, but again, it wasn't on anyone's top radar. Then later, and finally, police were able to confirm that the video was authentic, and they were able to identify that it was an Asian male. They were able to identify the Asian male as someone whose body parts had been sent to Ottawa.
Oh, what?
Mm-hmm.
So now he's just mailing body parts?
Mm-hmm. Yep. On May 29th of 2012, a package with a left foot inside was discovered was delivered to the HQ of the Conservative Party of Canada. It was said that there were indeed bloodstains on the package and it had a very foul odor, which, I mean, yeah, it's a decomposing foot.
In a package just being sent around.
Which, I don't know how the Canadian Postal Service works or runs, but if I were a carrier and a fucking bloodstained, foul-smelling box showed up on my to-do list of deliveries, I think I'd tell someone.
Yeah, let's let someone know, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a little suspect.
It's a little sus. It's a little sus.
Yeah, no. Terrible.
So, a second package was intercepted by the Canadian Postal Service, and this one contained a left hand, and this one was being sent to the Liberal Party HQ in Canada. So, like, but like, okay, politics, but what the fuck? Like, he's trying to send a message. Also, this box had a red heart in it.
Wait, when?
Yeah, it's just a little red heart.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah, not an actual heart.
His heart.
No, he just drew a heart on it.
Like, trying to be cute. Might send a foot later.
Yeah. So, and then hold the phone, because it's not over yet. Oh, no. Poor janitor was going about his job in an apartment complex in the Snowden area when he discovered a foul-smelling suitcase in the alleyway. I know the worst part. The janitor saw this bag on the 25th of May, but like when the garbage came on that day, like they didn't pick it up because they had like there was so much garbage that day. And I'm like, we'll get it next time.
Ew! So it's just been rotting.
So when it started to smell, I imagine this like janitor was like, crap. And I don't know if he actually looked inside the bag, but either way, fucking trauma.
Yeah.
He called the police, and they discovered the, they discovered decomposing, a torso of decomposing, along with the bloody clothes, papers identifying the suspect, and sharp and blunt objects in the back alley. It's just a torso.
Just a
torso. No head. Just a torso.
Yeah, just a... Someone's
police went to check the security footage and saw a man matching the person seen committing the murder in the video bring numerous garbage bags outside. And this person also matched the image of a man seen dropping off bloody packages at the Côte-de-Nier post office. French.
French words.
Now things are going to get a little bit maddening. At 11:33, police went to search the apartments which Magnano was renting on Declare Boulevard.
Okay, so at this point, how did they find out that Magnano was renting it? He doesn't have his name on anything.
No, but they're going to find out here in a bit. I think there was papers identifying Magnano with the body the torso.
Oh, okay.
So, at 11:33, police went to search the apartments which Magnano was renting on Declare Boulevard. The apartment was pretty much empty, but blood could be seen on different places in the apartment, like the refrigerator, the mattress, the table, and the bathtub.
So is this where the crime happened then?
Yeah. Police also looked into the closet and they found a message written in red ink. If you don't like the reflection, don't look in the mirror. I don't care. Which, like, dude, fuck right off. You're not deep, you're not philosophical, you're just a fucking murderer. With no empathy.
Yeah, definitely not a deep thinker.
I bet you're wondering, but Beth, you said the apartment was pretty much empty. Yeah, it's because the motherfucker moved out 4 months prior. but his rent was paid up until June.
Oh, so he wasn't I'm thinking, living there, but
no,
like
it was empty.
Premeditated.
I'm house. Thinking it was premeditated. Yeah,
sure, sounds like it.
Like this is my kill apartment.
How does you know? How do you not hear a murder in an apartment though?
I don't know.
Like the walls are paper thin.
I know.
So I don't. Maybe this is in Canada. Maybe they have better apartments.
Maybe I don't know. On May 30th, the identity of the body found dismembered and sent around Canada was confirmed to be Jin Lin. Like, can you imagine his parents? Like, finding out that not only was your baby boy murdered, but he was dismembered and his body parts were sent around to Ottawa and Toronto and that you could see his murder online.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back. We had to take a little break. Victoria started crying. But anyway, so your baby boy's murdered. Dismembered, sent around Toronto and Ottawa, like sent around Canada. You can see the murder online, and knowing that your son was cannibalized and
fed to dogs. That's awful.
Fuck right off.
Like, I'd feel just terrible, like knowing that your kid is missing, and then to get that kind of revelation there.
That pit, and then it just sinks even farther.
Yeah.
Ugh. This guy deserves to rot in hell.
Mordor.
Fucking, I hate this guy. So, police were also able to definitely say that Luca McDonald was their guy, but he had already ran away. Then a note was discovered in the package that was sent to the Conservative Party folks. It said along the lines that, yo, there are 6 body parts that have been mailed out, and I'm definitely going to kill again. Like, what a cocky bastard.
Right.
To make matters worse, other packages were found, but the contents of those packages were not released because police were afraid of copycat crimes. Mm. So fast forward to June 5th, 2012, a package containing right foot was found at St. George's School, and another package with a right hand was sent to Falls Creek Elementary School in Vancouver, British Columbia. Authorities were able to confirm that both packages were sent from Montreal. Like, okay. Send them to places where there are adults, fine. But children?
Yeah, it's really
well, the actual
book,
obviously, the children didn't see the package or the contents of the package. But my concern is, if it made it into the building, there are kids now who know what decomp smells like.
Yeah.
I am at the age of 26, and I don't even know what human decomposition smells like.
Well, I hope we never really have to find out, because that's pretty gross.
Unless you, like, work in paramedics. Or cops.
Oh, well, yeah, that's different. But I mean us.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to walk in on that ever.
I hear it's unlike anything else. On June 13th, 4 limbs and a torso were tested against DNA samples from June's family, and it was 100% confirmed what they already knew, that it was Jin Lin that was murdered by Luca Magnata. Later, on July 1st, June's head was discovered at the edge of a small lake in Montreal's Arlington Park. But via anonymous tip. An arrest warrant for McDonough was then issued by the Service de Police de la Ville de Montreal.
More French.
French. It was later upgraded to a Canada-wide warrant by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Which Mounted Police is fucking badass.
That would be pretty sweet, though.
Fuck it up, Canada.
Yeah, I want a horse.
And he was being accused of the following crimes. First-degree murder. Committing indignity to a dead body, publishing obscene material, mailing obscene, indecent, immoral, or scurrilous material, and criminally harassing a Canadian Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, and several unnamed members of Parliament. On May 31st, 2012, Interpol issued a red notice for McNada at the request of the Canadian authorities, and for several days before and after his arrest, his name and photo were displayed prominently at the top of the homepage of the Interpol website. They were going to find this motherfucker, and they were determined.
You look good.
The red notice requested that McNada be provisionally arrested pending extradition back to Canada by any Interpol member state. McNada booked a ticket for a flight from Montreal to Paris on May 25th using a passport with his own name. Fucking dumbass. Fucking dumbass. After his arrival in France. But he got through.
What the fuck?
After his arrival in France, his cell phone signal was traced to a hotel in Bagnolet, but he had left by the time police arrived. Pornographic magazines and an air sickness bag were found in the hotel room. Magnata used a false passport with the name Kirk Trammell at a hotel, and he had contacts in Paris from a previous visit in 2010, and police were following a large framed man who had been in contact with Magnata. Another man he stayed with for two nights did not realize who he was until he had left. Magnata then boarded Eurolines bus at the Bagnolet coach station bound for Berlin, Germany. How the fuck is this guy getting away?
How does he know so many people?
I don't know. Like, he's finally getting his world travels. I mean, he went on an escapade with that old man, but
yes.
This is a solo runaway adventure.
Yeah.
On June 4th, 2012, Magnata was apprehended by Berlin police at an internet cafe in the New Colin district. I don't know. German.
Oh, well, I do. But I can't see the screen, so.
New Colin district. Do you want to come over and see if you can actually say it with a German inflection?
I don't.
Was way different than what I had. He was reading news stories about himself. So, like, in an internet cafe in Germany, reading news stories about himself.
As one does.
As you know, one
that,
does. As
I do that all the time, though. Like, I just hop on over to the public library and look up my name. And I've actually never been in the library. Not since high school. Not since high school.
Yeah, our public library is in the...
I feel like that's just
it's
weird.
Creepy.
It's weird. Like, I don't want to be
our sister-in-law said that they should make a separate public library building, and I totally agree.
They should, because I would feel a lot more comfortable in a separate building, not walking through the school with all the children.
With all the teen angst radiating from every orifice of the building.
Yeah, I don't like... Sorry, teens, but I don't like you.
I don't like you.
And, you know... Yeah, I just... I don't vibe with teens, man.
I don't vibe with the teens.
And I didn't vibe with the teens when I was a teen, so.
Anyway, so he tried giving fake names before admitting who he was. His identity was confirmed through fingerprint evidence. Magnata appeared in a Berlin court on June 5th, 2012. According to German officials, he did not oppose his extradition. There was sufficient evidence to keep him in custody until extradition, and he agreed to a simplified process. So he was like, all right, you got me. Oh. Fuck.
Uh-huh.
On June 18th, 2012, Magnata was delivered to the Canadian authorities in Berlin and flown aboard a Royal Canadian Air Force to Mirabel International Airport north of Montreal. A military transport was purported by the government to be necessary due to the safety concerns, which with using commercial flight and a potential legal difficulties if the plane was diverted to another country. He was placed in solitary confinement at the Riviere de Paris.
More French.
Was yeah at that detention center he was put there.
Well, good, he deserves that and then some.
So reactions in China were highly critical, with some believing the murder was racially motivated. Some Chinese questioned the public safety in Canada, as the killing was the second high profile murder of a Chinese student there in slightly over a year.
Oh.
So Foreign Affairs Minister John Braird called the Chinese ambassador Jun Sai Zhang to convey his condolences. On June 4th, 2012, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper said he was pleased that the suspect was arrested and congratulated the police forces on their good work in apprehending him. Interim Liberal Party leader Bob Rae said the Canadians should mourn the victim rather than in any way, shape, or form celebrate Magnata's notoriety. So he's like, fuck Magnata, forget his name, let's focus on June, which I totally agree with.
Right.
And I think that Magnata's new celebrity is due to more like documentaries coming out. Like, I think there's one on Netflix called Don't Fuck with Cats.
And this.
And this podcast. But yeah, for the most part, no one knew who he was, but now he's getting more notoriety, which fuck him. He's probably living. 2 days later, Lin's family arrived at the Trudeau Airport in Montreal. The Chinese Students and Scholars Association of Concordia University established a fund to defray expenses incurred by Lin's family while they were in Canada, and an award was created in his honor. And they held a candlelight vigil in Montreal. Magnata was named Canadian Newsmaker of the Year by Canadian Press, which caused controversy. Like, why the fuck would you do that? This is what he wants.
Right. Don't give him what he wants. I mean, just
Lynn's body was cremated on July 11th, and his ashes were burned on July 26th at the Notre Dame de Nice Cemetery in Montreal.
You know, I kind of feel bad now that we're talking about him, but like, it's interesting, but in no way do we condone any of this. Like, he is a piece of shit.
He is. And I think it's important to tell these stories because the victims deserve to be remembered.
Yeah, they do.
Like, Jen was just so full of life, so full of potential, and this fuckwad took it away.
It's really sad.
On July 16th, 2013, Edmonton police charged Best Gore owner Mark Merrick with corrupting public morals, a rarely used obscenity charge for hosting One Lunatic, One Ice Pick video online. On January 25th, 2016, Merrick changed his plea to guilty and was sentenced to a six-month conditional sentence after a joint submission from the Crown and defense. He had to serve half of the six-month sentence under house arrest. Like, you can't control what people post, but having a website called Best Gore, fuck right off.
Yeah.
You're a monster.
There's a lot of different kinds of websites.
I think there's a lot of pathologies around that.
They're all terrible.
Yeah. So, during the preliminary hearing on June 19th, 2012, Magnotta appeared in court by video link to plead not guilty to all charges through his lawyer. Wow. Fucker, you recorded yourself, you absolute piece of shit. What the fuck? On June 21st, Magnotta appeared in person at a high security Montreal courtroom to request a trial by jury. The preliminary hearing began on March 11th, 2013. The evidence presented is subject to publication bans. People can't talk about it. Magnotta's defense team requested the media and the public be barred entirely from the hearing, and it was declined the next day. Jin Lin's father, Duran Lin, traveled from China to attend the hearing on March 13th, one of Magnotta's lawyers resigned due to the possible conflict of interest. Expert witnesses testified, including a forensic pathologist, a forensic toxicologist, a forensic odontologist, a bloodstain analyst, a data recovery specialist, and an internet investigations officer. The prosecution also displayed video evidence. Both Magnotta and Lin physically collapsed at separate times during the proceedings. Like, Magnotta, you don't deserve to fucking pass out because you're the one who did this shit. And I feel so fucking sorry for his dad who had to see that.
Yeah, that's kind of sick. But like, that guy recorded it. He edited the video. I mean, he did the crime, so I was like, now he's going to pass out. Like, now he's going to play like, oh, like, God, this is terrible.
I'm actually going to cry a little bit, but like, as a parent, like, if you had to watch your child, I don't imagine his fucking pain.
Like, I don't think there's any way that I could. I can understand the dad, you know, that's some sick shit.
Like, your baby boy, or your baby, I mean, I think of our boys. Or Victoria, if we had to see them, like, I would fucking break inside.
It would be not good.
On April 12th, 2013, Magnotta was indicted on charges of first-degree murder, offering indignities to a human body, distributing obscene materials, using the Postal Service to distribute obscene materials, and criminal harassment. Magnotta elected to be tried by judge and jury. He pleaded not guilty to admitting to the acts of which he was accused, but claiming diminished responsibility due to mental disorders. Fuck right off.
Everyone does that. Yeah, it seems right.
Like, if you're actually insane, that's a very okay defense, but you know exactly what the fuck you were doing and why you did it. He was of sound body and mind. Fuck off, Eric. Fuck off, Luca Magnotta. You garbage human being. Crown attorney Lewis. Like, can we just talk about that real quick? The Crown attorney. Like, British, like, England, Canada. Yeah, some real good fucking names over there. Crown attorney.
Yeah, we don't have cool names here in America like you guys.
Mm-hmm.
God.
So anyway, Crown Attorney Louis Bolthier made his opening statement on September 29th, 2014. Quebec Superior Court Justice Guy Cournoyer presided over the trial, which lasted 10 weeks. On the opening day, he instructed jurors that Magnotta admits the acts or the conducts underlying the crime for which he is charged. Your task will be to determine whether he committed the five offenses with the required state of mind for each offense. Six tools, a pair of scissors, two knives, a screwdriver, an oscillating saw, and a hammer were recovered outside Magnotta's apartment and analyzed by ballistics expert Gilbert Desjardins. He said none could be definitively linked to the killing and that no skeletal marks suggested the screwdriver or scissors were used, but some were consistent with saw and knife or X-Acto blade injuries. During the trial, the defense attorney argued that Magnotta was in a psychotic state at the time of the crimes and could not be held responsible for his actions.
Oh, fuck you.
The Crown prosecutor argued that the murder of Jun Lin was organized and premeditated and that Magnotta was purposeful, mindful, ultra-organized, and ultimately responsible for his actions, end quote. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. He did it, and he knew he was going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you...
He played with authorities.
Right.
He fucking knew.
I mean,
this took days to do because he cut up the body and everything, and then he sent it out, and he's like, oh my god.
Right.
Everyone's paying attention to me.
He posted the video online. Like, you have all these tools available. Like, you knew you were going to
kill
someone.
This is premeditated as fuck.
Yeah, totally.
Magnotta chose not to testify during the trial, and after a 12-week trial, which included the 10 weeks of hearing testimony, the jury of 8 women and 4 men received final instructions from the judge on December 15th, 2014. And was sequestered before beginning its deliberations the next day. On their 8th day of deliberation, they returned a verdict of guilty on all charges. Magnotta will serve a mandatory life sentence and will be eligible for parole after 25 years, which fucking deny that shit.
Yeah.
Bastard.
For sure.
He was also sentenced to 19 years for other charges to be served concurrently. Magnotta filed an appeal for the convictions to be annulled and a new trial ordered. The appeal was filed with the Quebec Court of Appeal by Magnotta's defense counsel, citing judicial error in jury instruction. Fuck off.
You know, I always like have conflicting thoughts about defense attorneys. Like, I mean, yeah, there are cases where like, you definitely didn't do it, you know, and you needed an attorney, whatever. But, like, wouldn't you feel like a piece of shit representing this guy?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And after seeing all that evidence, like, oh, I don't know if I could do it.
So, like, the appeal further claimed that the verdicts, quote, verdicts are unreasonable and unsupported by the evidence and the instructions. And later, Magnotta withdrew this appeal on February 18th, 2015. But let's get into like a little bit of mental health. So he is like, this is what they say he had: borderline personality disorder with historic traits. Almost everyone can agree that he has some sort of BPD, antisocial personality disorder, histrionic personality disorder, narcissist personality disorder, paranoid schizophrenia, paraphilia. During his trial for murder, defense witness provided evidence that Luca Magnotta had been diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia as a teenager. Defense expert Dr. Joel Watts testified that Magnotta showed signs of episodic schizophrenia. And so they just got all these people to say that he's a pretty fucked up cookie. Which still, with all of that, you knew exactly what,
like,
the fuck you were doing.
So many steps in the process. Like,
there's, yeah.
Somewhere along the way, you'd think he'd come out of his little, state of mind there, return to normal, or be like, hey, what the fuck is this doing here? Like, mm-hmm. This is terrible. No, he was every step of the way, man.
Yeah.
Killing, videotaping the killing, mailing the body parts, toying with the police. Like, he knew what he was doing.
So, later, the murder of Jun Lin and its subsequent trial drew comparisons across North America to Mark Twitchell, convicted murderer inspired by Dexter, who used social media in his crimes. So, like, yeah, we're going to talk about that one too. So they're like, hey, he's kind of similar to this other guy. Author Steve Linbuen, who wrote a book on the case, described a new trend in crime where social media allows killers to become online broadcasters and have direct instant access to global audience that they may crave. And so, like, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to solve that problem of, like, how do we... I think that being that social media is owned by private companies, they should be able to, like, monitor what goes up and take it down. But yet, it's so flooded.
There's so many people posting about every...
It's impossible. It's an impossible task.
And the best you can do is have users report it, and then it's like that TikTok suicide that was...
Oh, that was fucked up.
That was pretty messed up.
Yeah. If for those of you who don't know, there was a TikTok that went around of a streamer who had committed suicide via shotgun. Oof. And, like, you saw it and without knowing, and I saw it. I was just going through my feed, and I was wrecked. Like, I think I called you, like, dude, this is what I saw, and I need to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. But, like, see, the best they can do is have users report it, and then it was taken down fast, but... There's no way they could watch every second.
Because once it's on there, people will grab it, record it, and redistribute it.
Yeah.
It's a losing battle, I think. I don't know how to fix this problem. Anyway, Magnata is getting more notoriety due to the Netflix producing a 3-part documentary called Don't Fuck with Cats, Hunting an Internet Killer. Which I feel like I haven't seen the documentary like all the way through, but I kind of stopped because they drag it out a lot. They make these people seem like hackers and whatnot, but it's very easy things to do. Mm. Collect the metadata, look at Google Maps to see if you can find clues that are hidden there. And
it's all about that's what we do in communications. We make our job look more difficult.
Yeah. That's
what I did in the Army.
Yeah.
Like, I have a problem. Like, oh... Yeah, let me just take this to my cage here and I'll work my magic. And really all it was is I plugged in a wire.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is the case of Luca Magnata. He's still in jail. Thank fucking God. I hope that they don't give him parole. I hope that he stays in there for the rest of his fucking life.
Yeah, he ought to. Yeah, it's really messed up.
Airbench, yeah. So, thank you for joining us for this episode. We will see you next week. What should we talk about next week?
I don't know.
We'll talk about it. I have a few cases on the docket, but I'm wondering which one we should go on.
Like,
go
I'm down. Not privy to this information.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm talking to you like, what should we do? But I'm like, he has no idea.
I'm
the documents that I have.
I stay away from that.
So,
spooky.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. If you would like to find some of the resources that I use, I will list those in the show notes below. Our podcast can be heard on all platforms. Follow us on our socials, and we hope that you have a really great day.
Yeah, thanks.
Find
for listening.
Something funny to watch. Lift Definitely. Your spirits up after this. I'm sorry for bringing down your day, but I hope that it was entertaining.
Yeah, I'm sorry we have to be bad vibes here, but
bad vibes.
Bad vibes. But find some good ones.
Find some good vibes. Actually, speaking of good vibes, I'm gonna go ahead and shout out my brother-in-law. On Twitch, you can find Skyrain DRG. He streams about like 9 o'clock.
Nine.
There's no really set schedule right now, but he's funny. He's fun to watch. Join the community.
It's upbeat there.
It's upbeat, so it'll be a good thing to tune in on after this.
Right.
It would really mean a lot to him.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, have fun. Have a great day. Make good choices.
Don't kill people.
Be kind people. Spread your light. Spread your love. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.